Welcome to another episode of the Thrive Kombucha Podcast. I'm Elijah, the founder of Thrive Brew Kombucha Co., an up-and-coming kombucha brewery in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. At Thrive Brew, our mission is to brew clean, crushable kombucha to nourish you to thrive. This podcast is simply an extension of that mission where we reflect and share the ins and outs of the journey it's been building out a nourished kombucha community. If you find any value or enjoyment from this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review on the platform you are listening to. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes that promote our favorite fermented beverage. Cheers. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. Today we're going to be talking all about what is kombucha? It's a big topic.
Is it?
Kind of the whole point of this whole thing.
Oh.
Kind of.
The whatness of the kombucha?
I mean, what is kombucha?
It's what is kombucha?
What is kombucha? So we're going to be talking all about it. We're going to break it down, some of the interesting things that we love about it, and just all about it. What is it? Break it down to its basic elements.
Yep. It's good to revisit it, to go back to it. And, you know, for people who aren't as familiar with it, this is the one to help them not search the internet too exhaustively and get the same answers, but feel relatively unsatisfactory.
Yep. That's why we're here.
Yes.
I'm putting it all in one place just for you.
Absolutely.
What's going on, Trev? End of the week?
End of the week.
End of the work week?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's been a good week.
Kind of laid back.
Yes.
In some ways.
In some ways. But it's been good. It's kind of like a calm before the storm a little bit. Because yeah. Trey and I are going to have a fair amount of canning coming up.
Next few weeks. Rattle.
And we have some shop maintenance we're going to hit also.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good.
It's been exciting times.
Yeah.
Canning line's working pretty good.
It is working really, really good.
I'm incredibly happy with the system.
We did something fun today.
Oh, yeah. A little outing.
Yes, we did.
It seems like 5 days ago. Just this morning.
It was just this morning. Yep. That's
what two kids will do to you.
I'm going to have to take your word for it.
Yeah, we had a little workouting. It was pretty cool. Head over with our boys over at Mirror Twin Brewery. We got the little back of house tour. Got to see their new kind of brew system, their brewery production process. And it's always helpful getting to collab so much, but just gain some insight and perspective from people who do very similar things to what you do, but maybe with a little bit different of a angle. So I know even just from a quick run through, we were there maybe an hour or so, and I know I picked up on that, like, I should have had you with the clipboard. we should have been those people
next time.
But we yeah, you just get so much overlay of good information from brewers, beer brewers.
Did it inspire anything for you when it comes to future projections for Thrive?
More so, I really like how their brewery's designed.
Yes.
The design felt really good. All linear floor drains that were as good as any I've ever seen. Absolutely amazing. I know he said that they were a pain in the neck to get installed, and I'm sure incredibly expensive to install. But when you get those big floor drains like that, I mean, just...
best case scenario.
Oh, man. It's nice. And just the way that their brewery was designed, it was just like, yeah, whenever we do it, we'd definitely want to be in that style.
There's a really good flow to the design of it.
Yeah. There's some nice key features. And they're not... like we were talking about on the way over this morning, it's nice because they are not a brewery that's, I mean, they're definitely way larger than us, but they're not way, 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 way large and larger than us. All the equipment is pretty familiar. Obviously there's a few different processes and things, but the same basics are there to our process now. So it was cool to just kind of be inspired and look, okay, this is maybe what something could look like, you know, a year or two, three down the road.
What are we drinking?
Oh, we're drinking some good stuff today. By the way, cheers, bro. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Let me tell you. We poured these out and we had a big little conversation before we turned on the mics, and it took everything in Trevor to not take that first sip till right here on the podcast.
I did it for you all.
I'm telling you what, we are drinking our first test batch of our new fall release. What's today? What's today's date?
Today's the 25th.
25th of August, 2022. We got our little, our test batch of what our fall release is going to be.
The color alone.
Oh, beautiful. Let's just go ahead and let it out of the bag for the podcast listeners.
Let's do it.
So we made this awesome partnership with a local cidery, Orchard Cidery, and we're going to be using their fresh pressed apple cider with a brew with cinnamon sticks and fresh pressed ginger, and we're making our fall brew, and they're called Evan's Orchard. They're kind of a local favorite around here, and so it's going to be Evan's Cider special release. I'm super stoked about it.
Drop a little bourbon in that.
Oh, baby. Yeah. So we're trying these on the podcast and into the work week here. We dropped a little bit post-work week, just a little dash of bourbon in here, and my gosh, it's good.
It is.
I was telling Trevor, it even rivals the Kentucky Mule. It really does. Kentucky Mule with a little dash of bourbon, my gosh, it's good. It's just the cinnamon and ginger. It just mixes so good with bourbon. Just the natural notes are there. Just probably, I mean, I would say any whiskey, but any whiskey is not an option in Kentucky.
No.
It's bourbon or bust.
Yeah, this one, we have those spices that are present. Yeah. Not as much, so it lets the spice that's in the kombucha come forth more.
Mm.
Than from the bourbon, but it still blends well together because of the oaky kind of notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know if it matters, but the bourbon that we are using is not a very spicy one.
It's super mild.
Yeah.
Super vanilla, smooth. Maker's Mark.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Anyhow.
Back to the question at hand.
What is kombucha? All right. So here's the thing about kombucha. Elijah, let me just go ahead and ask you the most important question about kombucha.
You set this one up. High standards.
Why is kombucha so hard to pronounce?
What an opener. I don't know. We were just talking about this earlier. What do you get? Kombachi? Kombucho?
He said kombucha.
Kombucha.
Trey said kombucha.
Like a true southerner. Trey said out kombucha. I don't know. Great question. Kombucha. That's what I would think you would say. Kombucha. Which is what it is. Kombucha.
Kombucha. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's pretty amazing.
My father-in-law calls it kombachi.
Kombachi. Kombuchi. Yeah. We get a lot of those. Kombucha. Lots of those. I don't know. I think it's just that maybe it's the area of the country we're in. I don't know. I really don't.
I think they may have looked at the word, but not necessarily read it.
No. They started saying it as soon as they started looking at it.
And perhaps they're familiar with kimchi. and they supplemented the vowels in kombucha with kimchi.
I have never thought of that, but that's a pretty good theory.
That's the one I'm going to hold to for the time being.
If you guys got any better ones, hit us up on the Patreon.
I want to hear all the theories as to why it's so hard to pronounce.
Kombucha. Kombucha.
Kombucha.
It's something like that.
Which inclines me to think it might be kimchi.
I mean, I've never even thought about that, but it's now that you say it, it's so plain. It's got to be it. I don't know. Hit us up on the Patreon. Let us know. Tell us the most hilarious names. Send us an audio recording or just text it out. Tell us what in the world, how in the world, the funniest kombucha.
I would love
mess ups.
I would love to read or hear the worst pronunciations of kombucha you've ever heard.
Absolutely. And if you have any theories as to why it's so mispronounced.
Definitely.
I mean, pretty incredible.
Yep. Okay. So with what is kombucha, let's start with its basic elements. What are its basic ingredients?
Sure. What makes it up?
Yes. What makes it kombucha?
Yeah. So kombucha is most traditionally known and as a fermented tea. Plain and simple. It's a fermented tea. It's a tea that goes through a fermentation process.
Okay. You know what the first thing people are going to think is? Oh, I hate tea.
Happens literally like three times out of 10.
That's not very often.
3 to 4 times out of 10. 10 interactions with new people. I'd say 3 to 5. It's going up every time I say it.
It's the bourbon. I personally think when asked what is kombucha, to not even mention the tea.
We should definitely circle back around to that.
Okay.
We should circle back at the end of this episode to ways that we like to talk about what kombucha is.
Yeah, which we've done before. And it's been an important conversation that we've had because we want to set the customer up for success.
Yeah.
So we want to help them know what to expect from what they're about to drink.
Yes.
And the basic ingredients are not necessarily the most informative of their experience.
Not from someone who's at ground zero.
Yeah. And unfamiliar with fermentation.
Absolutely. So the basic ingredients of kombucha. You have tea, water, sugar, and culture.
What the heck is culture?
Cultures, rather, maybe I should say. So yeah, it's pretty basic. You have your... I'm pointing at Trevor.
Camellia sinensis?
I actually haven't memorized, but
I know
at
you
least
do.
The first 6 months that you were here, I did not.
Yeah.
I could not pronounce it. 3.5 years into opening a kombucha business, still can't pronounce Camellia sinensis.
This is the important question. Was it the fact that I kept saying it whenever you pointed at me, or the fact that I wrote it on the board that was more effective? Or was I entirely inconsequential to you being able to memorize it?
Probably the sheer amount of times that I had to actually point at you was like, this is embarrassing.
It was the awareness that you needed to dedicate it to memory.
Absolutely.
I gotcha.
You
need your employees to tell you something that you're trying to teach them.
Exactly.
Does not bode well.
So all you producers out there,
learn to say Camellia sinensis.
Camellia sinensis.
What is learn Camellia sinensis?
It is the tea plant, basically. It's where we get the green, black, white tea varietals. It's where we get those varietals. They're just different amounts of drying and, yeah, oxidization that's gone into creating those. And so, basically, it's one of those. I'm only going to make mention of it, but there are other ways that other things you can use, but most traditionally, you're going to use Camellia sinensis. one of those varietals that I said.
Okay. So, Camellia sinensis, I know that's important.
Yes.
Can I use just any water? Any
you can.
Kind of Camellia sinensis tea? Does it matter where I get it from? Any kind of sugar?
All these things, we should probably have a whole episode on ingredient transparency at some point. And
I'll make a note.
Make a note.
The amount of times.
I mean, you should have a button for that at this point. Why would you even waste your time saying it?
We need.
You just need a button.
No. What we need is bingo cards for each of us.
We do. You're right.
For phrases that we all say.
Let's devote our entire next week to creating this.
Shut down production.
Create the bingo cards. So, yeah, we'll do a whole episode on... I'll just do a quick overview. Because all these things are very important. And we are have been sourced accordingly, formulated accordingly. The process in which we process those into the brews is incredibly thought about. And so there's a lot with all that. But all that to say is kombucha is made up of tea, water, sugar, and cultures. In our view, and the way that we approach our process, is that we focused heavily on those four things over everything else. Everything else we incredibly focus on, but without that, you don't have kombucha. You can go get ginger juice shots anywhere. And so lots of kombuchas are flavored with ginger, obviously. But without that fermented tea and the ingredients that go into creating that fermented tea, we just like to put a lot of emphasis on that because that is what the unique, that's the uniqueness, that's Thrive, that's our brew, is how we ferment those four things or those three things with the one thing.
Does the quality of those ingredients affect taste at all?
Incredibly.
Okay.
Obviously, it's all process dependent for us specifically. Yes, because we don't try to hide our kombucha. It's something that we try to be very proud of, is that we don't try to push our kombucha in the back and cover it up with things. Back added sugars, sweet, you know, artificial or natural sweeteners, all these types of things that could be tempting to do. We try to let the kombucha shine through our process. So we still chase clean and crushable. But we are kind of little tagline that we've been chasing, clean, crushable kombucha. We want the kombucha to still shine through, and we want you to know that you're drinking kombucha when your lips touch that beautiful can. So, yes, ingredients matter massively, especially for a producer like us who really focuses on letting the kombucha shine.
So the ingredients matter to, like, the quality of the kombucha flavor that you're getting.
Absolutely.
Inside of the brew. Okay. So if,
as well as nutritionally.
Yes. But for consumers, I mean, there's a degree where that's important. And we'll talk about that actually next week.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as flavor profile goes, let's say we were to use our process.
Yeah.
Use the same juices that we use, but we skimped on the quality of the ingredients that create the base ingredients that create the kombucha.
Yes.
What kind of effects would that have on our flavor?
Massive implications. The fullness of the flavor, the vibrancy of the kombucha itself, the depth or lack thereof of the acids. You know, there's a difference between, and this might be hard for people to put their mind around, because drinking vinegars are kind of a weird concept. But if you were to pour out white distilled vinegar and then pour out into it, maybe dilute it with some water, and then you would take some Bragg's in the raw with the mother or organic apple cider vinegar, and you put those by each other, and you'd maybe dilute them with some water and then taste them, the difference in taste profile is massive. And that's kind of, even though it's a little bit different, that's a good way to think about it, is if you skimp on ingredients, you put lackluster ingredients in, you're going to have that white vinegar type of a taste. Super bland, just acid, you know? Just not good, in our opinion. Not that way. That's what we strive to go against. But we try to go high quality ingredients, high quality fermentation process. I can't tell you how many times a week, at least me and Trey, but it spills over into me and you, discussing our culture. What's going on with it? How can we improve it? Is there anything going off base with it? You know, it's a constant conversation for us. Do we need to add a little more to this? Do we need to take a little bit of that away? So we're very poignant about how we craft that culture for all the fermentation that happens in the brewery.
Cool.
And the ingredients have a massive effect. Process, obviously, and we'll go through that another day, but the ingredients themselves matter drastically. So that's why we try to source the best.
Gotcha. Can you give us a nice, we'll talk about it more in depth, but what is a layman's basic process
of creating
kombucha?
Make sweet tea, throw a culture in it, leave it for a few days, pull it out and drink it. If you had to say it in one quick sentence, that's basically the process of kombucha. You can add flavoring steps on the end, carbonation steps, but really just to create kombucha, it's make some Georgia sweet tea and then throw you a culture down in there. Cover it up so fruit flies can't get on it with a cloth. Let it sit for some amount of days, depending on your goals with it. And let the magic of the culture and the oxygen and the yeast and bacteria in the culture and the air, let it do its thing. And it turns that sweet tea into healthy probiotics, B vitamins, acetic, all these healthy acids, acetic acid, as well as all kinds of acetic, I think I said that one, citric acid. I can't pronounce the one, but it's the one that starts with the glucana. Every producer out there is like, you idiot. But there's just so many amazing acids.
You only
acids.
Just learned how to say Camellia sinensis.
Well,
it's okay.
Give me another year, and yes. I'll have that one memorized too.
That's right. You'll start
but
pointing at me for that one.
A list of like about 4 to 5, 3 are really exciting to me, of ones that have, that there's been studies from huge universities now that are coming out on the nutritional effects of those that are created during that natural fermentation process. Tons of antioxidants from the tea, and then going through fermentation, I think it's like 200 to 300% times is the amount of antioxidants in the final brew. We're talking vitamin C. I think I said B vitamins, B12. For people who choose to eat a vegan lifestyle, I don't, but people who do, you're naturally B12 deficient. Kombucha is a great source of that for you. We even put other things like, Ether Live, Blue Magic, Blue Spirulina into our products that are naturally high in, B12 as well. But kombucha has natural occurring B12 in it. And then let alone all the other fresh pressed fruits, herbs, things that we infuse into it. But it's a powerhouse nutritionally. And that's not something that we even talk about that much. That's just the nutritional side. Then there's the whole taste and experience side, which is what we spend a lot of our time talking about. because, you know, what we found is that there's a lot of people that are okay with the cursory. Kombucha is good for me, right? It's good for my gut. It's good for the gut. And you have, that's where like kind of the sales and stuff comes in to where, and this is a little tangential, but it's okay, is that there are, you don't have to drop every bit of information on every single person. You just need to meet people where they're at and maybe give them a little intrigue. But people who just want to know it's healthy, yeah, it's healthy for you. It's low in sugar and it has a lot of natural occurring probiotics. That's really good for your gut. Boom. That's good for 75%+ of people that want to get into kombucha. How does it taste? You know, you know, that's what people care about beyond that. So, but it is a nutritional powerhouse that is like nothing else known of yet in the beverage world. Like there's nothing like it that has the vibrancy, the taste profile with that amount of nutrient density that I know about, which is pretty rad.
When you're usually talking to people about kombucha, what are the sort of things?
Kombucha?
Kombucha.
I thought I heard kombucha.
I would never.
I think it's the bourbon.
I like having something we could blame.
Yeah, you always have to have something to blame.
Yeah.
Even though we've only drinking like 3 drinks.
I know. Not enough for it to even matter. But it's better. We're recording this. So.
Yeah.
Trey would hear us if we blamed him.
Yeah.
Just because he's not here. Because that's the other rule. You blame whoever isn't around.
You blame who's not there.
Precisely.
So we blame Trey when he's not here. But he might hear this. But we still would blame him. Because he's not really physically here.
And it's usually his fault anyway. Yeah. So whatever.
Well, it's usually Alex's fault.
It's always Alex's fault.
We named a tank after Alex just so we can yell at Alex.
Freaking Alex.
All right.
I don't even know the guy.
You can still blame him.
That's true. I can blame George if I want.
Yeah.
Freaking George.
Just as long as they're not here.
No one here is named George that I'm aware of. Okay. So what usually comes into people's minds mm-hmm. when they think of kombucha yeah. or as you're talking about it? And then again, how are they wrong? How are some of the thoughts misleading or just different than what you think is accurate or what you think should be put into their minds when they think of kombucha?
Most people, I realize, well, this will kind of circle, we'll circle back to this later. I'm only going to, you know, dip my toes in this. But when you start off with
when you did this motion, I knew exactly what you were going to say. Dip your toes.
Is that whenever you start off with kombucha as a fermented tea, that puts a lot of things in people's minds right away. A lot of people, at least in my interactions, kombucha, what is that? They're at ground zero. They have nothing. They probably, with the way that we present it, are thinking beer. That's probably the only slight subconscious thing in their mind.
Do you mean because of our packaging?
Because of packaging and the way we normally have, you know, we usually are dispensing it as well through like, you know, jockey boxes, you know, tap systems. So in this area of the country, especially, it's like beer is the only context people bring to the table. So they're thinking that's where their mind, I feel like, is going, is that direction. And so, but as soon I notice that whenever I say it's a fermented tea, boom, before I even finish, so many times, oh, there's like a negative reaction to that, at least in this area of the country. Whenever that fermented tea comes into. So it, I don't know if it's fermented because I don't even know if a lot of people think about beer being fermented. I really don't think that people think about that.
I don't think that they do.
They just think it's beer, you know, but that's a fermented grain beverage. But I think it's something about that word fermented. And then with the tea, it's both, it's something in that combo to where people are turned off a little bit by it. A lot of people, not everyone, but just a lot of people are turned off by that combination of words. So,
and I think that that kind of makes sense, particularly if they're approaching it with an idea in mind. And it's that idea they had in mind that inclined them to even approach it. So they see something that might be beer or something like beer. I'm interested in this. I'm going to approach it. It's nothing like what I thought. If I had known that, I wouldn't have approached it.
Yep. So we have started changing, which actually let's circle back to that.
Yeah.
Let's circle back to that at the end because that'll be a good ending conversation all about, you know, how we've changed our language to try to relate, not to try to trick people, but
to give them the information that is
that they're one that would be most helpful to them.
Yes.
To decide whether this is a good idea or not. Because fermented tea doesn't even get, if you think fermented tea on its own compared to what our stuff tastes like, it's like there's a wide ocean there.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So anyways, people have a pretty baseline, I would say nothing, or they're like, it's either that or they think nothing, or they think that horrible experience that they had that one time at their friend's house when someone gave them some, whether it was a mass-produced, horribly mass-produced acid, dead acid kombucha that was poured onto them, or it was some homebrew person's kombucha brew that went way too long and just basically tasted like straight apple cider vinegar, and their friend was with joy and glee, what do you think? And they are just struggling to get the one drink down. That's like, so you either got the, I got nothing, I don't even know what in the world this is, to that. That's a two. I would say, as an overgeneralization, that's the two categories.
Okay. Two categories, not necessarily a continuum between the two.
If I had to throw a third, it would be someone who knows that kombucha is good for me. And I want to like it, but I've never tried it, or I don't know. They know it's good for them.
Chances are, if they were approaching it as something purely on the basis of it being good for them, they probably already tried a kombucha.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back through interactions that I have, but yeah, it's. I think that,
and they hated it because it was probably
a store one. I want to like it
because
I know it's good for me, but I don't.
Yes,
I get a lot of those interactions.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's
that can go either way. It can either be helpful for sales, or it can be detrimental. Helpful because now you have a bad experience that you can
possibly remedy,
or you can compare your product to.
Absolutely, which I actually love this situation,
which is a great win
because
if they are willing to try something different.
Yeah, which most people are actually that approach with that. I know it's good for me, but I want to like it. If people are in there, if you just throw out you've never tried ours.
Yeah.
I usually throw in a dare, you know, that kind of like, hey, you never tried a local one right off the draft, you know? And that kind of gets people to at least like, oh, there's different styles. There's like off the draft. What is, you know, it like, it opens up a new realm of it for people.
Can I propose something to you?
Absolutely.
Next time you have that interaction, agree with them.
Yeah.
That way.
I've done that too.
Yeah. Now you're on their team.
Yeah.
Now you guys are together and you can just go, you're absolutely right. It's awful most of the time, but we've tried to make this actually really good. So now you're in it together.
I tell my story most times. I tell people that's how I usually try to relate the entire experience.
I don't know that that's necessarily the best, because you did come to like the one you initially tried. I'm proposing most people have tried one they will never like.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I've tried some of those.
And unfortunately,
and we fundamentally disagree with their practice and their aims and their profile.
Yeah. We got a different approach.
We have a different approach.
Yeah. You might be onto something there, Trev.
So
make a note of it.
What good is a note for me to make
when you're the one that needs it? Well, you can email me later, and then I'll just email it back to you to
reply
to
yourself. And I'll respond
to yourself.
Oh, my goodness. See if you can try that this Saturday.
We'll give it a go.
Let me know how that goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Anyway, so these are the common thoughts, and would you say they are wrong? Would you think that they are misconceptions, or are they mostly just...
They're true to the people that bring them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're true in that regard. One thing that you have to realize is that you're not here to change people's minds about what they've experienced, you know? Their experiences are their experiences as far as this situation is going. So they're true in their responses. So it's not worth, it's of no value to you to try to unconvince them of their past experiences.
Yep.
So if they've had a bad experience with kombucha, like you said, I mean...
Agree with them. Like, you probably did have a horrible experience.
They happen. I had a horrible first experience, but I was also addicted to sugar and drinking sodas all the time.
Probably don't want...
never had anything fermented in my life.
Probably don't want to lead with that one, though.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on the clientele because of how confrontational you want to be and how compelling that can actually be for some.
I've used it a few times in the course when someone indicates to me they want to get healthier. I want
to improve myself. That's a good point.
I will go there with them. I will tell them, yeah, I totally understand how not liking these things. When I was at a stage in my kind of health nutritional journey to where I didn't know anything, I mean, I just thought some very not true things at the time, just from ignorance, you know. But realizing that at one time when I grew up with 2-liter sodas in the house and soda and no fermented things in my life, you know, really too much. And so realizing that a lot of people have grown up that same way. And when you come into contact with living, vibrant, fresh taste, it's off-putting because it's very strong and aggressive and lively and real to your taste, to your, you know, your normal sense of dead sugar taste buds that you're used to, you know? And so occasionally when people bring that up to me, that I want to get healthier, I've been trying to make these steps, it's like, well, one of the first things that gets in the way of you liking not just kombucha, but any healthier, and that I'm going to put a very broad context, we're not going to go deep on health right now, is an addiction to sugar. Sugar and oils, but in this context, sugar. A little bit sugar is great. It's energy. It's just straight, it's energy. But overabundance, consistently overabundance in your system, especially throughout the day, it turns your taste profiles, what I've noticed, off to fermented foods, specifically sour, tangy things are not appetizing to you when you're really addicted to or overconsumption of sugar. I don't know why that is.
But citric acid is sour, and it's on all my favorite candies.
How much sugar is in there with it? You're feeding that sugar addiction.
Okay. Interesting. So,
but I usually don't try to lead with that one because I like to meet people where they're at, realize everyone's on their own journey.
Sure.
And we're here. If I can convince someone by the taste only of kombucha, hey, try this really refreshing thing. It's 1,000,000,000 degrees outside. This is super cold, refreshing, and healthy for you. If I can convince that off on somebody, or, you know, like our Kentucky Mule, it's like, you ever had a Kentucky Mule cocktail? I'll lead with that all the time. It's like, this one's crafted after that cocktail. And they try it and they love it. I don't need to give them any, I don't need to overload them with nutritional information. It's just like, I'm so glad you liked it. And I just got someone to consume something that's absolutely nutritionally amazing for them, maybe without them even knowing. Yeah. And I feel great about it.
Yeah. That's something I was having a conversation with Trey about the other day, because he was talking about his family. And when he introduced kombucha to a bunch of them for the first time,
yeah,
he just gave it to them to drink it. They enjoyed it. And then he said, it's healthy too. And they went, oh, cool.
Yeah. Don't care.
Don't care. So it's not just for people who are interested in their health. It's also...
No. We're actually trying to reach... Delicious. We're trying to reach all the other people.
Exactly.
We're trying to literally nourish people to thrive. And people that are already thriving don't need to be nourished to thrive. We're looking for... You know, for lack of better words, the sick, the people who need that nutritional boost.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to be in those situations. Even if it's just a replacement on one soda, great. I'm the happiest camper alive. You know, we replaced a soda and put all those healthy acids, antioxidants, probiotics, everything into that person's system, which is under the guise of a really tasty beverage. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was very apprehensive for that to be enough, unfortunately, just because I was so proud of the process, you know, so proud of, I mean, not even in like a, I do it the best way ever. It's just like, there's a lot that goes into this thing. Like, it's not just throw some things in a bucket and then carb it up, you know. There's a massive process to creating this, but nowadays I just try to meet people where they're at, you know. That's fun. I mean this podcast is an area where we can go deep on all those, you know, those intricate production things, or the reasons why we choose what we do in our ingredients, or deep dives on things. But with a lot of people, we just want to meet them where they're at and serve them where they're at. And so, you know, what that's led us to is making incredibly tasty and crushable brews that have all the nutritional content in them. So, anyways.
All that to say, you don't need to necessarily be interested in nutrition to enjoy our kombucha.
Not at all.
I would say.
Absolutely.
Can I throw a thought experiment your way?
Let's go, baby. Pulling the Jordan Peterson on me.
Not quite.
Thought experiment.
You are in the parking lot of Whole Foods.
Mm.
You're in the car.
I'm at home.
No.
I'm at home.
No. You're in the parking lot. Your home is the parking lot? Oh my gosh. You're in a car in the parking lot of a Whole Foods. Annie is right next to you.
Mm. Sounds familiar.
You've never had kombucha before. And she pulls out a kombucha from Thrive Brew.
Mm.
Would it have a different effect than your first taste of the mango one from GT's?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Yeah.
How come?
Because, great question, by the way. That's a great scenario to put yourself in. Because it brings a humility to the situation. I think so, because one of the things that we've tried to pride ourselves on is, okay, a couple of reasons. We try to create super clean brews, and what I mean by not the health or the ingredients, but more so the taste profile. The viscosity, the way that the beverage drinks. Ours are much more clean tasting than some of the more yeast-oriented brews. So that alone would have been.
Let me clarify. No pun intended. by clean does not mean watery.
No. We mean the far opposite end of that.
Yes. It's really full, but not necessarily overly thick.
I like to say it's majorly flavorful.
Yeah.
It's flavorful, but not thick. Like some of...
It's a consistent consistency all the way through.
If you think about the viscosity of a West Coast IPA compared to a New England style IPA, there's the difference.
Not,
if you think,
not cloudy.
If you think about a glass of mango juice compared to a glass of apple juice, we're on the apple juice side. We're on the West Coast IPA side. Clean in its taste profile. So that would have been a major pro for me at the time, rather than that kind of yeast-heavy beverage, which I like those beverages now. I mean, there's nothing against them. They're a little heavy, but I have an appreciation for them. I prefer the clean. But that would have been probably better in the beginning. And then also, even though our kombucha, if you just put your nose right on it and smell it, it will definitely have a little bit of that fermented, lively tanginess to the aroma. But we try to really pride ourselves on getting some of our flavors to be very aromatic into the brews. Like, we take aromatics into account when we're crafting the flavor. So when you put your nose to, because like a natural practice for most people before they drink some is to smell it first. You get a new cup of coffee, you give it a nice whiff, and then you take a sip. You get a beer, you take a little smell, and then you take a sip. So when you smell our brews, when you take in the aromatics, you're going to get fresh mint from the Kentucky Mule. You're going to get soft vanilla and tropical pineapple from the blush. You're going to get a very nice bouquet of lavender from the butterfly from our new fall release. You're going to get cinnamon and ginger that just wafts out of the glass, you know, or out of the can. And it's like, so taking those heavily into account in each of our flavors, I feel like sets a beginner up for success.
I'm just trying to think about some of the brews we have tried from other producers.
God.
And they taste really good. But when you have that initial waft, you get the funkiness of their culture, which is not actually a bad thing, but it can be very off-putting for a starter, for someone who's beginning. So there are some that perhaps assume you're already in the know about what kombucha is.
Yeah.
For that to not be as important of a quality. We are trying to reach a fair amount of people. And it's something that we just care about, that we enjoy about our own product.
Yes. We like there to be a blessed aroma.
Yes.
That wafts out of that glass or can.
But there's nothing worse than getting an aroma, but not having any of that in the taste.
That is the worst. I was talking to someone the other day, which was the highest compliment. I've gotten it twice in the last couple of weeks, and it makes my heart so happy, is that they had said, you know, the taste on the front of your can, the flavor profiles on the front of your can is exactly what I taste in the beverage and in exactly that order. I literally was smiling ear to ear right in front of them because the amount of time, energy, effort, and taste sessions and reformulations and reprocess and redo this, try that we do to try to make that happen is extensive. I mean, it's of no small amount that we've gone through.
We take it seriously.
Yeah. While letting the kombucha marry them all together, you know, which is...
It's been a game changer.
Yeah.
So aromatics would have helped a ton aromatics in this scenario. Helped.
Yeah. And as far as tastes, I mean...
Well...
We're not on the super tangy end of the spectrum, and we're not on the weak... This is a soda disguised as a kombucha end of the spectrum. We try to be in that middle to little, maybe leaning towards the tangy, but like in that kind of middle ground, you know, to where we really try to emphasize promoting some of the specific acids that are developed in the kombucha. If you create environments for specific one of those acids to be promoted over the other acids, you'll get that more smooth little like citrusy berry, not too much berry apple profile out of that acid rather than that super just vinegar, you know, that some people think about.
Yes.
So that's processed, and we'll talk about that another time.
The tang is part of the flavor profile.
Yes.
It's not masked over. It's also not overindulgent.
We like to say it marries them. It's the in-between between those flavors. It's just what molds them all together into, if you put all those ingredients in something without that fermentation, they would be nothing alike. Yeah.
I think, were you a big soda drinker at that time?
Oh, yeah. When I first tried kombucha?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say like crazy addiction, but two a day. Yeah.
I think it still would have been a lot more appealing.
Way more appealing. Because I love ginger ale. Like, I like stronger flavors. I've been drinking black coffee since I was 5. It was nothing
to do with
that. If you like
ginger ales, get some Kentucky Mule.
Ooh. I'm telling you. It will change the ginger ale game on you.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So which one of our flavors do you think would have been the best one to convince you?
Blush.
Blush?
Right away.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, that's the flavor that we make for all first timers and people who like that more. In the kombucha world, as an overgeneralization, you have two categories of people. You have ginger people and you have fruit people. I mean, that's an overgeneralization, but that's what you have.
There is a very small category of the herbs people, but it's a pretty small category.
We ain't chasing those people, all right?
But we got something for you.
We do, actually.
We do.
In almost every one of our flavors.
Yes.
But you have the ginger crowd and you got the berry crowd. The blush is a tribute to, if anyone is into kombucha, tried kombucha but not had ours, and they're like, I usually drink berry. It's either I drink the ginger ones, I drink the berry ones. If you drink the berry ones, this is your new favorite kombucha. This is berry, tropical, and a soft ride into the sunset with that vanilla. You know, not overpowering vanilla to where it's just like all you taste is vanilla, but it's just like that nice softness at the end.
Yes.
And so the blush would have been the go-to for me at the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
So that's the one you recommend to most kombucha beginners?
You know, it's been wild. I've been re-evaluating that. This is a quick aside. Is I'll push the blush towards a lot of people. The mule always brings them in, though. I'll try them on the blush in the beginning, and then we'll go through a couple. I give them the mule wins their heart. Every time. So
you say this like it's surprising.
It's just,
but it's a,
you don't really know.
It's a banger flavor.
It's a banger, dude. I mean, that is our baby. That is our pride and joy.
Our pride and joy. That's exactly it.
I love the blush, though. I drink the blush a lot at home. I really enjoy it. It's just like,
I'm fond of the blush.
You just want something that's top tier crushable. I mean, I'm just dying of thirst right now. The blush.
Amazing.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Okay. So if anybody is listening and they're trying to consider what sort of flavor to start with, maybe with our stuff, there you have it.
There's some good stuff for you.
Those some good ones to start with, but we do have other flavors.
Yeah, we do. Let's talk real quick.
Yes.
About, let's circle back around to the way that we like to talk about kombucha.
Let's do it. How are we approaching or perhaps changing the conversation about kombucha?
Well, like we had talked about earlier, that whole phrase fermented tea has just been a big, it's been a wall. It's been a barrier for people. So, not that we want to hide from that, because that is what we do. We ferment tea. But that language produces a mental picture and then like an expected taste that is so off-putting to people compared to when you finally, like, sometimes I'll still, because I'm a tidal wave to be reckoned with when I'm out there at the farmers markets and things, I will still get them to come up. But as soon as I say fermented, oh, I hate this. You can see their face slight, because they're polite people, that slightly contort their face at just the thought of fermented tea. But I'll convince them to come up, try a free sample, probably out of the goodness of their little hearts. They'll come up, they'll try it, and they'll say, that's actually pretty good. And you can tell that what they were expecting this to taste like is nothing like what they're experiencing right now. So we've realized that that language is dead to us right now. Unless someone wants to be here in the brewery and we're taking them on a tour, or someone wants to go deep, you can tell this person is into it. They really want to go deep dive on what this is. Okay, we'll let you know. It's a fermented tea. But the majority of the time, I focus on flavor and health and a cursory of what the health is. So words that we like to kind of say is, it's a fermented beverage quickly. I always like to put words before that, though. A refreshing, lively, super flavorful, you know, crafted with real ingredients, like super vibrant fermented beverage. I like to put it like that so that people's minds are more towards what it actually tastes like. Because if someone likes it, then they might want to know more. And then you can go down those other roads. But you've got to get people to, if we really believe in the power of kombucha and that it can be a game changer for people, even if it's just in the moment when you're walking around, hey, rather than downing another beer at 10 a.m. walking around the farmer's market, and there are those folks, why don't you grab a kombucha, have a crazy flavorful experience, and actually not live your whole day intoxicated? Or instead of going down to that slushy station with food colorings of out the wazoo and sugar through the roof, maybe just grab a kombucha and don't have that huge sugar crash and all the effects of those dang food colorings, especially your kids. Look into it, people. If we want to try to get those people and we feel like this is a good step for them, we got to get them over with language that makes sense. So those are some of the things we like to, that's some of the quick things.
Yeah. If it's not a drink you can enjoy,
there's very few people that will take it the distance.
Exactly. Health is not enough for the vast majority.
Yeah.
And if it is, there are perhaps more cost-effective ways.
In what regard?
To get those acids.
Hmm. Yeah.
You can take
not as
shots.
Pleasurable.
Exactly. If taste doesn't matter to you and you just want the health benefit,
there are some other ways.
Yes.
If you're not a person who enjoys good food and drink, there are other ways.
Precisely.
Exactly.
What we are out to do is we're taking this healthy, good for you, thing. And we are helping you to enjoy that and incorporate that into everything else in your life that is moving you forward towards thriving.
Yes.
So joy is a part of thriving. So if you are not going to enjoy this, we need to reformulate.
Or with all due respect, maybe you need to reformulate your palate. Unfortunately.
But I don't think that's a problem we have anymore.
We don't.
There will be some who...
Believe me, there are.
And that will most likely be an extreme.
You can't please everybody.
Considering what we've been able to do with... from where we have been to where we are now.
We're definitely a lot closer, but I definitely experience people that are unpleasable, you know? And that's, part of life.
Hang on. These people that are unpleasable, is this a personality trait or is this because of the products that they enjoy?
Probably both.
Okay. Which, of course, that's going to be there. But I am hard-pressed to find someone who enjoys the beverages that they drink. I mean, actually enjoys them. That can't enjoy our kombucha. Or at least one of them. Even if they are massive soda drinkers. But it's because they just so enjoy it. Not because they're addicted to it. Because of the sugars. But because they actually enjoy the flavor of it. If you are flavor-oriented, I am hard-pressed to believe you will not appreciate and enjoy what we've been able to craft.
I can go with what you're saying on the flavor-oriented. Yeah.
Yes.
And that side of things, I'm very convincible.
Outside of that...
There's just some people that will never be... You'll never win them no matter what you ever did, said, or created.
Yeah.
Unless you created the beverage that they drink every night.
And that's okay,
yeah,
because they don't make up the vast majority.
And they're happy with what they're doing.
And they are.
If they're thriving, more power to you, baby. Cheers. Cheers to y'all that are thriving without Thrive's products. All right.
You won't for long. I'm just kidding.
Okay. We'll conclude with this.
Yes.
The thing that still makes me passionate about kombucha to this day, especially when I get to take long form times and think about it like this, is we're creating, at least at Thrive Brew, I can't say this for everyone, we are creating, if you just were in the brewery and you just saw the ingredients that we put into this thing, didn't know anything about fermentation or whatever, you just saw the ingredients that went into it. Fresh whole loose leaf tea. I mean, fresh pressed, lots of fresh pressed ginger. Lots of fresh squeezed limes.
Lots.
Mint. Honey. All just the best compounds on earth. And we put these in with our certain mixes, protocols, methods, and you put it into this brew, and then we tell you a little bit about what fermentation actually does. And then we tell you, yeah, we don't send that through a pasteurization method just to get, 2 years shelf life out of the product. We actually keep all those beneficial probiotics living and active and all those nice, beneficial yeast and bacteria living and active, all those acids in the product that helps you, blah, blah, blah. It's like we get to create one of the most living, vibrant, flavorful, refreshing, good for you beverages that actually tastes freaking amazing and put it in a can. You can take it anywhere and drink it whenever you want. Like, it's just, in a world dominated by endless amounts of beverages, I just feel so proud and happy with what we're able to create. You know, it's like we don't look the other way just because of profit margins, even though it would be super helpful too, into those processes. Yeah, it'd be super nice to run it through a pasteurization, just put it on a shelf and put it on trucks that don't need to be refrigerated and put it in on shelves and backstock units and grocery stores and cafes that don't need to refrigerate it.
Yeah, the thing about that that I'm aware of, because I've tasted some of those, is it just wouldn't taste the same though. The impact that those things have on the final product, the flavor of it, and the experience of it is a lot more massive than I think people think about, or that I was even aware of.
It tastes like the dead beverage it is. That's what it tastes like. When you get used to drinking,
when you compare it to the living,
raw crafted beverages and foods, by the way.
And foods.
When you get used to fermented foods and you start drinking those and eating those on a regular basis, and you go back to drink a soda, it is the most dead, flat, disgusting thing you've ever tried in your life. But you don't know it until you remove that and start doing these. And it's just like there's so much flavor and just vibrancy in it. And then you go back to an over-sugared, dead, artificial tasting thing. And it's just, there's no difference. I mean, let alone the benefits, just the taste is just off-putting after you make that switch. And so to be able to craft beverages to try to woo people over from that side of the aisle into this whole new world of fermented, lively, raw, living foods and beverages, I think kombucha, especially the way that we create ours, is a great intermediary over into that whole world. You know, if you throw down kimchi, traditionally crafted Korean kimchi, on someone's plate, they are never going to try a fermented thing ever again. If you put apple cider vinegar in a glass, you know, diluted with some water, people are going to, they're never going to drink that. And then they're never going to try anything fermented ever again. Kombucha has that nice in-between world of this refreshing, lively, but bringing you over into the, you know, the greater fermented world.
What I appreciate, I think, about what we do is with the kombucha that we have, the crossover that you're talking about, the thing that makes that most approachable is not the overabundance of back-added sugars,
yeah,
but other whole type of ingredients, things that are naturally quite flavorful. There's a lot to be said about that, I think. I think that is something really impressive and really special that we've dedicated ourselves to use the cold-pressed pineapple juice, not necessarily store-bought pineapple juice, to help not necessarily offset the flavor, but pair with it to create that crossover into a familiarity with these tangier flavor profiles.
Yeah.
Because that is a route to go, to just use a lot of sugar to make people think they like it, because it's adding to the addiction element and the stimuli that occurs in your brain when you take in sugar, that kind of sugar, versus using natural things.
And next week, we're going to talk all about this.
Yes.
Pretty much. We're going to talk about differentiating factors, and not all kombuchas are created equal. We're going to discuss that in depth next week.
Absolutely.
This has been a good convo. It re-sparks up the beauty and the art of fermentation, specifically kombucha. So if you guys want to see if we're filled with a load of crap and all this, you know, high and lofty lingo that we keep spitting out here on the podcast.
You have tons of sales pitches, but I like that this is the one you use.
This is the only one podcast. I mean, if you're going to listen to an entire podcast, I mean, I know there's tons of brewers out there. There's tons of home brewers. And there's people that just appreciate from afar that are just into kombucha. And you're going to listen to a podcast about the one of the most niche-oriented things ever. And they sell kombucha online, shipped directly to your door. And you're not even going to taste it and see if they're filled with a load of crap. That's kind of crazy.
Honestly, try our stuff and find out if you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Honestly. Because if you try our stuff and it's not good, you can know full well, I've just wasted several hours of my time. And and we're just trying to save you.
We're trying to save
hours
you from us.
Of your life.
Come on now. It's all about saving time. It's all you got. So, but if you do want to see what the craze is all about, you can order our product online directly to your door. We've got our core flavors on there, which is ones that we have slaved over. We have meticulously crafted the exact flavors and profiles and fermentation times and all that stuff into those flavors. But then we also have all these test batch flavors that we do one-offs that literally at this time, anyone else doesn't even get access to these. They're just in-house until we open up some hours back in the fall or something. Tons of test batch oriented flavors.
You make them available at the market.
Sometimes. I'm just saying, you podcast people have the direct in route.
Feel special.
So you can order those directly to your door. Check them out. Description link down in the description. If you get any value out of this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it if you would just take, 5 seconds out of your life? Something like that.
You've already given us more than you know, because you haven't tried our kombucha yet.
And please give us a 5-star review. It helps spread the knowledge and just the awareness through this podcast of what kombucha is. We want everyone to be let in on the secret of what kombucha is.
And what it can do for you.
Absolutely. Come on, freaking people. Leave us a 5-star freaking review. We're distributing. We're reaching out. If you know any places in any state that touches ours, we can probably distribute stuff to your local cafe, natural foods grocer. Reach out. Hit us up. Or check our map feature. If we're distributed right down the road, why in the world would you just ship stuff to your house?
Because you can't get those flavors distributed to you.
You're right. You get those specialty one-offs, and some of them are bangers, let me tell you.
We have one right now.
Dude. What do we got going?
Blueberry hops.
Oh, my. This batch.
I know.
Dude, it slaps. This was a dope batch. If you have any further questions, you can email them to info@thrivebrewco.com. Let's see if I can do it this week. info@thrivebrewco.com. We appreciate each and every one of you that takes time to listen to this podcast. We hope you gained some value, insight, something that was worth your time. We'll see you next time. Well, we'll be rocking and rolling again. We're going to talk about some really cool things next week, all about not all kombuchas are created equal. Cheers, y'all.